Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. Most especially if you happen to be visiting with us today, we want to make sure that you know you're welcome, and it's really great to see you. We might remind you that there are some refreshments being served following, and you're invited to stay behind for that. If you're with us by way of the video live stream, we want to welcome you as well, and today I suppose we might just say hi to Frank and to anybody else that you might know is watching. We have usually about 25 or 30 people who join us during worship on Sunday morning, and usually by the end of the week, probably 60 to 70 have viewed the live stream or the recording. So a welcome to you. And also, if you're listening in by way of the Cathedral Audio Podcast, we welcome you as well. I might just remind you of the ways that you can find us. If you go to our website, which you can find by searching Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton fairly easily, up in the left-hand top corner, you'll see our social media links. So there's a link there to our YouTube channel, to our Facebook page, to all of the podcasts from the last couple of months. And those are all up, as I say, in that top left-hand corner. If you're watching with us today and you're interested in the order of service, you'll find that on the little banner on our homepage that's on the top right-hand corner of the page. And again, welcome to you all. And if you're with us this morning and you have members of your family who are of the younger sort and variety, we want to especially say that you are welcome with us, and remind you that there are some items back in the corner of the church that might be of some use in terms of distraction if you need a little change, and also don't feel that it's not possible for you to wander around a bit. We want you to be comfortable here, so welcome to all. I had a note from Cindy Pope this weekend, who has asked if we might remember her mom and Alex's grandmother in our prayers, Barb Gauthier. And she's broken a hip and in need of our prayers. So if we could remember her, that would be most appreciated. This past week, we unfortunately received from our sexton, Ashley Swim, a notice of his resignation. And that will be as of the 17th of May. We're all really sorry to receive that, but we do wish Ashley well in his other endeavors and his new endeavors. We're very appreciative to him for what he's been able to offer us in the time that he has been with us. So, also just to mention that this past week our bishop and chapter met, and one of the things on our agenda was to appoint a new treasurer. Catherine McDonald has been appointed treasurer for the cathedral. So thank you, Catherine, for that. And I think Catherine begins officially on the 1st of May, as soon as Jamie Yeamans has finished his term. And we appreciate both of them for what they've offered. I also want to just mention once again that if you are new in our midst, and new meaning within the last 6 months or a year, or less than that, and it's your wish to be named on our congregational list, so giving to us some contact information for you and so on, we would be happy to oblige with that. And you're welcome to either contact the office, get in touch with me, or leave a note on the offering plate in that regard. And we'll be happy to either get you one of the forms, which you can find on the website as well, or we have some at the back that will help to communicate what we would need to know. And we'd be pleased to count you in our number. And I'll mention again, just once again, that at the moment we are really in need of some individuals to help with the daily reading of the Divine Office, which would be morning and evening prayer, Monday to Friday. Every weekday, we say prayers here in the morning and in the evening, 8:45 and 4:45. It's not a difficult thing to do. It takes about 15 minutes. And what we've done for the last several years is kept a sign up active, and those who would like to participate in that way can choose their times, sign up, and it's just a matter of coming here to the church. We'll give you training and instruction as to how and what to do, but we need 10 individuals to cover all the spots in a week. And at the moment, we're sort of at about half of that. So we'd certainly appreciate some help. So if that's something that that you might consider, please feel free to speak to me, to Catherine McDonald, who is chair of the Chapter Worship Committee, or Harry Palmer would be happy to speak with you as well. Or Kurt, or any of the others who are currently readers of the office, Jim Waugh, Keith Radford. There are a number of us that are doing this on a regular basis. And also, just a reminder that this afternoon at 4 p.m. is Choral Evensong, so you might wish to keep that in mind. Is there anything else that needs announcing? Nothing. We're going to continue in our worship during this Easter season, this being the fifth Sunday of Easter, and our worship today is according to the Come Worship style. You'll find most of what you need on the blue-colored insert in your bulletin. And we begin with a call to worship. And as we do that, I'll ask you to stand. Words from Psalm 22. All the families of the nations shall bow down before him.
Those who seek the Lord shall praise him.
They shall come and make him known to a people yet unborn.
Come, let us worship.
In
Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another and walk in the way of his commandments, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we'll be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in us, in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You are the God who reconciles.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of the Lord.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus' final I am statement in the Gospel of John is found about midway in what is often called his final discourse. These words are among some of the last spoken to the disciples as Jesus prepares to march uphill to his death. In them is bad news and good news. Bad news for those who are somehow decided that alone they're able to make any real positive difference in the world. But it's good news for those who understand that with God, anything is possible. Those who consider themselves to be social observers these days are divided on what to call these present times. Some say we're living in postmodernism. Others maintain that these days are late modernity. Regardless of what it's called, I think it's safe to say that we see our current times with a significant dose of skepticism as compared with the predominant outlook in the last several decades of the last century. Then it was widely understood that human beings could accomplish pretty much anything we put our minds to. We put a person on the moon, not once, but several times. The polio vaccine eradicated that disease from every corner of the world. We learned enough about genetics to begin to believe that with a little more time and a lot more money, someday every disease could be cured. But it seems to me there's little trust in those ideals anymore. Space shuttles can blow up in midair. Warfare is still the brutal option to disagreement on the stage of world politics. The war to end all wars has come and gone. We've learned now to distrust the institutions that once stood for hope. The confidence we once had in the political systems we relied on to elect the best leaders is all but gone now. Every improvement seems to cause as much damage as it does good. We can speed around the globe, but the price in global warming and pollution make it a questionable value. We can communicate instantaneously around the world and at the same time open new avenues for identity theft, fraud, the dissemination of pornography, and threats of terrorism. Why is it that it seems impossible for us to change the world for good in significant ways and for it to last? The reason is the same as it has always been. Early church father Augustine had it right in the 4th century. And it wasn't a new idea then either. Augustine said, "Apart from God, no good can come." Apart from God, no good can come. And of course, Jesus also said it. "Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing." And you know, there's a whole lot of abiding going on in those readings this morning between the first letter of John and the Gospel of John. There's a whole lot being said about this idea of abiding, staying with, living with, resting in, being one with. "Abide in me," Jesus said. "Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit." And yes, we've done some good and some notable things since then. There remains a certain amount of hope in human capacity to make the world more livable, but any good thing that has been accomplished has come about because God placed creation in the stewardship of those most gifted to care for it. God is the source of creation. God is also the genesis of all of its goodness. And so Jesus leans on the age-old image of the vine and the vine grower. The prophets spoke of God as shepherds, and Israel as the vine. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. And in those images, there's invitation, instruction, and judgment all rolled into one. Both bad news and good news. It's bad news for those who seek to improve the world on their own. The author of Psalm 127 knew it. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. But it's good news for those who are connected to the love of God through Christ. Abide in me. You know, among my concerns, and I have many of them, with accepting medical assistance in dying as being the answer for those approaching the end of life, one of my concerns is that a decision to end our life, our own life, dispenses with any hope or belief or possibility of miracle. The moral and ethical concerns about human involvement at the end of life, it would seem, are really no different from those at life's beginning. And maybe that shouldn't surprise us. The cloning of human embryos, creating life in a petri dish in the lab, and for that matter, any of the issues surrounding abortion. The same concerns aren't so different when life nears its end. And so the question might be, are we ever rightfully in a position to grab on and control a gift so precious and sacred as life itself? I had a friend who had once given a special gift to someone who eventually handed it back to him with the message that for them, it had met the end of its usefulness. Ugh. And I'll be honest, I haven't had a lot of first-hand experience with grapes and vines. We do have an arbor in our backyard on the north side. That was a gift along with the basement winery from the previous owners of our home. Kelly has mostly laid claim to the arbor. The wine room downstairs, though, I'm guessing, is mine. I always refer to the vines that live out back as our conversation piece. Since I've done very little to ever promote their growth, I just let them grow, and every summer there are little green bunches of teeny tiny grapes that never really amount to anything at all. The leaves look nice. But you know, if I were to cut back the vines, ruthlessly prune, I'll bet there would be fruit. Maybe even fruit that would last. As Jesus referred to it a little later on in the Gospel of John. So, you know, Jesus didn't teach that pruning was punishment. Removing the dead wood is discipline. The discipleship necessary to bear fruit. Life comes from the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Among the branches are suckers. And they're so named because they suck the life out of the vine, making the bearing of fruit impossible. How can there ever be an end to war or injustice or hunger? The same principle holds. Apart from Christ, human attempts at peace and justice are empty schemes. Our very best mortal efforts and noblest human ideas are doomed to failure. But prayer and faithful work by those who abide in Christ are powerful forces in the world. They always have been, and they still are. That's why what was referred to, I think, very much tongue-in-cheek last Thursday evening as a decaying pile of rock I think that's why it needs to stand with a spire reaching skyward that proclaims God lives here. We're going to continue on page 2 of the blue leaflet. On the left-hand column, about midway down, is an affirmation of faith. You're welcome to remain seated if you like. Let us affirm the good news we have received, in which we stand, through which we are saved, and which we hand on to others. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, he was raised to life on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen.
Let us join through prayer with everything that lives. Let us acknowledge to God the one life we share, answering each petition, O God who makes us one, with hear our prayers. O God, your Holy Spirit is alive in all the earth. Your Spirit that moved and shaped the land and sea, trees and beasts, still moves and shapes us into creation. Through Christ, we know your one Holy Spirit, For you are God of all. That all the world may know your spirit, we pray. O God who makes us one, hear our prayer. Open your world before our eyes so that we see far and near. Show us newly what lives around us, ever and behind and within. Give us the mind of Christ, O God who makes us one. Hear our prayer. Bring us to one another, that we may hear and understand each other. Bring trust and sympathy between the peoples of the world. Make all nations one household with many rooms. O God, who makes us one, hear our prayer. Heal us who are sick as we take a moment to remember those listed, those named, those forgotten. Cheer us who are guilty. Love us who are alone. Join us who are distant. Call the world to yourself. O God, who makes us one, hear our prayer. Enliven your church with the Spirit of Christ. Through us, give your loving Spirit to a world in need to comfort. Today, we especially name the Anglican Church of Bangladesh, Samuel, their Archbishop and Moderator. In the Canadian Church, Nigel, Bishop Ordinary to the Canadian Armed Forces and all military chaplains, as well as Matthias, Bishop of Ho, David, our Bishop and Metropolitan, and all who minister with him in our diocese. Make our many gifts one offering for the world. O God, who makes us one, hear our prayer. Guide those who lead and inform public opinion, those who speak where many listen, and those who write what many read. Many may speak the truth, making the heart of our people wise, its mind discerning, and its will righteous. O God, who makes us one, hear our prayer. O God, keep our minds inside your love, for we are many parts and need to be one. We beg for this unity which only your Spirit can give, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Joining in words of confession, God of mercy, we confess that we have not borne the fruit of the Spirit. We have not loved others as you have loved us. We have denied the promises of baptism and cut ourselves off from you. Forgive us, restore us, that we may abide in your love and live out your mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You have already been cleansed by the word that God has spoken to you. In baptism, God claimed you and joined you to Christ as branches to a vine. Believe the promise given to you in Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And will you stand, please? As we have heard and been cleansed by the Word of God, confessed our faith, made our confession to him, and heard words of absolution, we now share in his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, you show us your way and give us your divine life. May everything we do be directed by the knowledge of your truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. The great thanksgiving is the Eucharistic prayer, and it formulates for us our thanks to God for all the gifts of his creation for our very life. And we give thanks especially for the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, and for the continuing inspiration of his Spirit in our midst. During the Eucharistic prayer, you're welcome to remain standing, or you may be seated or kneel, whatever way you find yourself most comfortable. It is truly right and our greatest joy, Almighty God, to give you thanks and praise, Creator and Ruler of the universe. All the ends of the earth turn to you and worship you, O Lord. The poor eat and they are satisfied. Those who seek you praise your name. Even those who sleep in the dust bow down before you. We praise you and join our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He is the true vine, and you, O God, are the vine grower. He is the vine, and we are the branches. In Christ we bear fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We remember that on the night he was betrayed, having gathered his friends at the table, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take it and eat it. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer you our very selves to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with Christ and with your church in all the world. Let us love one another, for love is from you, O God. You are love. Fill us with that perfect love that casts out all fear, so that we may love all people just as you have first loved us. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus said, "I am the vine." Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch that abides in the vine bears fruit." He was known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lamb of God, who takes away.
As we stand, let us pray. God of love, in this Eucharist we have heard your truth and shared in your life. May we always walk in your way, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Go out with joy that you have been fed and healed, securely abiding as branches of the true vine. Go and tell the story of faith that is given to you by the one who never lets you go. Seek out those who abound with sacred questions and be ready to answer a mystery with love. As Jesus entered into human life, his life is still alive in you. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.
Okay, it's time. Some of the children out there know what it's time for. And some of them might be new and don't know, but there is a basket of lovely tambourines and other noisemakers up here, and all the children are invited to come up and, what is it, shake, rattle, and roll. So come on down. And you can spread out. Once you've picked something, you don't have to stand right next to the basket. You can actually pull back a little bit and make a nice line or something. So are we ready? On your marks, get set, go. Thank you all.